tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
Chapter of Deuteronomy, running for my life. Yeah, Lord. Ain't no time to tarry now. It's time to get in a hurry. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Chapter 32, verse 11. And the words penned in such poetic prose. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. God is kind. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Wow. The Eagle, one of the most classic sermons of black preaching, is that of the eagle stirreth her nest. Many of you along my age group who grew up in Christendom in black church remember men like C.L. Franklin and Leo Daniels. These were all gospelists. Men like Caesar Clark, all of these men have now gone on to try out how long eternity is. G. Morgan and others who preached in Miltonic fashion, the Bible narratives, in such a way that one could almost put yourself in the preachment and experience what the writers were talking about. Deuteronomy is the last book of the, if you will, Torah, the last book of the laws, the law book, last book of Moses. And this 32nd chapter really is a song penned by the prophet Moses. You have to read 31 and 32 and beyond that to really understand the transition that was taking place between Moses and Joshua. God was about to pass the baton from Moses and give it to his servant Joshua to continue the journey with the people. As a matter of fact, when you read the first chapter of Joshua, much of it is a repeat of what God said to Joshua through Moses in the 32nd chapter as well as the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. When Moses penned these words, he knew very well that his days were coming, his prophetic days were coming to an end. He had this wonderful, rich experience of leading this awesome people from the flesh pots of Egypt into the wilderness. Not only into it, but through it. Around the Sinai Mountains, around Horeb, Moses led the people. And he was allowed to experience tremendous manifestations of God supernaturally intervening on behalf of the people as well as himself when the people became uncontrollably unruly. We think in terms of men who came up in the ranks to rebel against Moses, along with he and his sons, the sons of Korah. And God stood tall for Moses even then, opened the earth and swallowed them all up. Would have taken out a whole generation or better, but Moses pled to God, don't do that. Well, your name is at stake here. If you kill off all this people, then your enemies will say you could not lead them, that you yourself was a poor general. Moses on many occasions had to intercede on behalf of God's people to prevent the wrath of God from taking them out. And whenever you look at the life of Moses, the ministry of Moses, one has to think in terms of thanking God for men and women of God who actually spend quality time praying for God's people in the midst of their folly and foolishness, that God would withhold his hand of wrath. Thank God for men and women who lead God people because they love him. They love them because they are God's people and not because of what they think they can get out of them. Moses led the people, in spite of the fact many times he had to take stances and stands that were contrary to what the people wanted to do. He had to speak to them and say things to them that they didn't really want to hear. And it's in those times that Moses found himself standing alone. And any preacher, pastor who wants to pastor for popularity is making a serious mistake, because people are fickle and people can be foolish. And it's impossible to please the masses, but it's not impossible to please the master. When you please God, you're going to always ruffle somebody's feathers. But if you're doing what God says do, you never have to worry about people problem. Because God will always protect you from those who would raise up their nasty heads against you. so that the prophet preacher must constantly remind himself that even though he has been taken from among the people, he is not of the people in the sense that he can afford to compromise or be controlled by the people. He must come to the conclusion that is either God or nothing. He must understand that there's always going to be occasion for people to rise up and seek to go contrary to the will and way of God. But if the prophet is truly the mouthpiece of God, if he truly has his ear to God's mouth, he won't mind what people say or do. Because this God we have to do with, he is faithful. And he's always faithful to those whom he has called to sacred duty. Yet there are times when the man of God must understand clear, you're going to have some lonely days and some lonesome days. Lonesome from the human perspective. But if you're hanging there with Yahweh, he's promised you one thing. He says, I'll always be with you. You may not have tangible, empirical presence of people, but if you got God's presence and God's spirit, no good thing will he withhold from you. It's a blessing when a man can stand independent of his circumstances, unbought, unbound, and if you will, he is unshackled from people dependency. So then when you look at the text before, as Moses is instructed by Yahweh to write this message, but this message must be sung to the people. I need you to put this particular message in music format. I need you to sing these words in the ears of your hearers. I need you to sing this to Israel. The reason why I want you to sing this to Israel, because I don't want them to ever forget what I'm about to put into words. I want them to always remember these words. There's something about music, yes, that has an arresting effect on the memory and psyche of people. Educators discover that when students have problems in certain subject matters, if they put, especially in the mathematical area, if they put to music, if you will, the formulas were much more easier to memorize than to try to sit down and use conventional methods to recall. So they've decided in a lot of cases to teach the song, to teach the lesson or the formula in musical form, only to discover those students excelled in that subject matter and improved in their study. So that when God says to Moses, I need you to sing this message to them for the sake and for the purpose of their memory, and understand that Israel easily forgets things you say to them, but they remember things you sing to them. I see a kinship to Israel and us right now. Because when you really think about it, many of us, if I called the roll and began to sing some old 70 R&B, many of you could help me on the journey. If I went back and got the OJs, they smile in your face. All the time they want to do what? Listen to what I'm trying to see, what I'm trying to tell you. The OJs have sung that thing decades ago. But nonetheless, you understand the power of putting truth to music. Because music has a way of embedding certain things in our psyche. And so Moses, the prophet of miracle, the miracle prophet, the prophet with the wonder rod, is now instructed to write a message, but I want you to sing it to Israel. And then as you are singing this message, I want you to teach this message to them in song fashion. So when you are gone off the scene, they will always remember this message. And this is why you got to be careful in the Church of Christ of what type of music you bring in the house of God and label it gospel or contemporary, because instead of getting caught up in the melody, the rhythm, and the beat, you need to focus on the message and ask yourself, is this message biblically sound and theologically sound? Because if the song, if the message of the song is really adverse to the character of God and who God is and scriptural truth, then the song ain't worth singing. I don't care who produced it. The song ain't worth singing if the song does not reflect truth, the truth of eternity. Many of the great hymns in the hymn book are powerful, but there's still even some hymns and sacred music that does not reflect the mindset of believers. For instance, there's a wonderful hymn. We loved to sing it in the old day. It was called Around the Great White Throne. But if you're a true believer, you don't have any business singing about Around the Great White Throne, because the Great White Throne is not your destiny. Your destiny is around the throne of Jesus Christ, the throne where all redeemed and believers will stand to be judged, not because they rejected him, but they'll be judged for their works in the body of Christ. Yes, there's some things are not worth singing because they send a foolish message. I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Well, all sides of the mountain are rough. There's no such thing as a smooth mountain. You got to be careful what you sing, and then you got to be careful what you're singing about, because if what you're singing about does not reflect the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the sovereignty of God, the awesome power of God, then I submit to you, it's not worth singing in the house of God. Oh yeah, the songs we sing ought to reflect our journey and our relationship with the Lord. And here Moses is instructed to sing this message to Israel as it relates to where they've been and where the Lord has brought them on the journey. And he uses this particular song that Moses penned to remind Israel that, listen, when you were nobody, when nobody else wanted you, it was God who reached down and got you out of the flesh pots of Egypt. It was God who demonstrated to you through supernatural manifestations that he was God, and he has no assistance. He has no associates. I want to remind you, Israel, because you're too quick to fall back on your own sins and in your own mess, I need you to be constantly reminded that it was the Lord who brought you through every thick and thin situation. When you got down to the bitter waters of Marah, it was the Lord who sweetened the bitter waters. He goes on to say, Israel, I need you to be constantly reminded. I don't want you to ever forget from whence the Lord has brought you from, because if you throw away what I did in the past, more than likely you will repeat the past. And I'm a God of progress. I'm a God of success. I'm a God of advancement. I'm not concerned with you being repetitiously repeats. I want you to learn from your mistakes, and I want you to borrow from past strength, but don't forget where the Lord brought you, and don't forget the mistakes of the past, because it was those mistakes that impeded your progress. It was those mistakes that put a wedge between you and me. It was those mistakes that caused
caused you to almost miss the land of promise. It was your rebellion. It was their rebellion that caused the whole generation to be wiped out. They should have made it over, but they didn't make it. They did not make it because of their unbelief. And unbelief always produces disobedience. And disobedience always produces consequences. Consequences that lead to condemnation. And because of their disbelief and their disobedience, they were swallowed up in the wilderness. I believe it's in Psalm 81 where David says that the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart as it was in the days of provocation. In other words, I don't want you to make the same mistake that your foreparents made, but I want you to keep on the journey. Stay focused, stay faithful, and stay fruitful, because you've got a great future ahead of you. I know things look kind of rough right now, but you got a great future. Now, what more can you have or ask for when God has given you a prophetic word that speaks not just of your past, that speaks not just of your present, but speaks of your future? Don't you allow anybody to rob you of your promising future. Your future was not promised to you by politicians. It was not promised to you by preachers. It was not promised to you by professors. It was not promised to you by stockbrokers and in bank investors. But it was promised to you by the Lord of glory. He has promised you, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. He promised you that no good thing shall be able, hallelujah, to be withheld from you. If you just walk with me, you don't have to walk upright, just walk with me. If you just hang with me, with your messed up, cantankerous, crazy self, if you just walk with me, I'll just bless you just because you're hanging with me. Ask your neighbor right here, are you hanging with God? Let me close, but listen, he says, I need you to understand, I need you, Moses, to sing this to Israel. I need you to sing, I need you to serenade them. And while you're singing to them, thank you, Jesus, he says that the words will be embedded in their psyche, but then I want them to sing along with you. So while they're on their daily journey, they can always remember the promises and the instructions that I have given them. Let me tell you, beloved, nothing can pick up your spirit like knowing the promises of God for your life. Every now and then you ought to put to music the promises of God in your own personal fashion. You don't have to be, if you will, a musician to do it. You don't have to be able to read the scale. You don't have to really be able to keep time. Just know what the lyrics are. Put those lyrics to your own little melody, and in your heart you ought to sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You need to sing the scriptures, because when you begin to sing the scriptures, the word themselves will pick up your spirit, and your sight will become more spiritually keen. You can see your way through dark clouds and stormy seas. I'm here to tell you, the next time you find yourself in the midst of hell and high water, I dare you to pick up the promises of God and begin to sing them to your soul, and let the devil know that you already know what your future look like. And I'm not going to allow you to taint it with your distractions. I'm not going to allow you to taint it with your suggestions. I'm not going to allow you to taint it with your life. lines, because God has already promised good to me. The Bible says that God began to tell Moses to sing this wonderful song of promise, but then he breaks right there out into a metaphor, as he uses several metaphors in order to depict and to define their experience on the journey. And this is where I've been trying to get all afternoon. He said, tell Israel that it's been my providential care that has kept them along the way. I wonder this afternoon, is there anybody up in here that knows the only reason why you are where you are right now? It's because of the providence of God. You could look back over your journey and you see times when you should have been out, but God kept you in the mix. There were times you were down to your last dime and dollar, but somehow God made a way out of no way. Is there anybody here that knows anything about the providence of God? His providence is always at work in the lives of his people. And so God says to Moses, you tell Israel that as the eagle stirs her nest, and he bears her young on eagle's wings, he looks after his young, her young, so I have been with Israel. Now I wonder why God used the eagle and he didn't use the buzzard. I wonder why he used the eagle but he did not use the raven.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.